Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You're listening to continuing coverage of the trial of Chad Daybell from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast. Let's go back to the courtroom.
Do you feel like there's anything in your prior information that you had that would cause you to be less than impartial as a juror in hearing all the evidence coming in and then deciding whether or not he's guilty or not guilty?
No, because I really don't know the case.
Judge, at this time, would I be allowed just to ask one hardship question, a potential question?
Yes.
Thank you. Ma'am, I noticed in your questionnaire that I believe you checked that you don't believe that this case would present a hardship if you were selected as a juror.
Correct.
But then you did make some notation that as a mother of children, 3 children, it would help knowing the schedule to arrange their schedule and whatnot. As you sit there, when you made that statement, are there any concerns that you would have that if you're selected as a juror for up to 10 weeks with some sequestration that could happen? Any concerns about being a mother and parenting these children if you are selected as a juror?
Well, I think there's always going to be concerns because they're kids and things can come up. I do have one that's going to start spring football. So I do get concerned that if he gets hurt, you know, something can come up. But they're older, so they don't need a lot of my full attention. I do have a lot of support. I have family here. I have friends here that can help with rides if that needs to be. There's arrangements, so I wouldn't really consider that big hardship, but I mean, there's always going to be concerns. I am
fair enough. So would it be safe, you're just really providing that as information to the court, but you don't feel like your parenting is going to impose any kind of a hardship?
No.
If you're a juror.
I've always worked. I've never been a stay-at-home mom. I've always made arrangements if needed to.
Thank you, ma'am. No, I don't have any more questions on these issues.
Mr. Cryer, on either of those topics in the court argument.
And ma'am, there was a little bit of discussion about some media disclosure, and you said you really don't have a lot of information.
No, I don't have any details.
Right, and one of the things you mentioned specifically is actually you mentioned Idaho Channel 6, and that's where you got some news, but is it your position that the person who reported on this case was very, very fair and balanced and didn't really lean one way or the other?
I actually don't remember reading any articles. I only put that one because that's the only one I follow.
Right.
But so, I don't remember reading any full articles or any type of like details of the case. Right.
So despite the Channel 6 being the only station that you follow in the Treasure Valley, you felt that, you know, they didn't inflame or sensationalize or do anything like that. They were very fair about it and just reported the facts.
Correct.
Would that be fair?
I think so, yeah.
Judge, I don't have anything else. Thank you.
No, may we approach on this?
Go ahead, sidebar. All right. At this time, we are going to take a mid-morning break, and we will return for some further for dire with this particular juror once the break is concluded. So probably about 20 minutes to come back on the record.
All right, please.
Good call. Head on in. 400 coverage.
All right. Thanks, everyone. We are back on the record. I'll confirm with the broadcast. Thank you. We are conducting individual voir dire of juror 1636. Does the state have any additional questions related to hardship or bias at this time?
No, Your Honor, but the juror number, this is 1736.
Thank you for the clarification. 1736.
Mr. Much judge, nothing further.
Okay. Juror number 1736, then this next topic I'll discuss with you and I'll allow counsel as well, is relating to responses you gave in your questionnaire on your attitudes regarding the death penalty. If you have a copy of your questionnaire, I'm referring to pages 12 and 13. Do you recall filling out those questions and thinking about your responses for the attitudes on the death penalty?
Yes.
Okay. Since the time you filled this questionnaire out, has anything changed on your opinions, and do you still hold the same answers here? That was a bad question. That was two questions. So have you changed your mind on any of these responses?
No.
I am going to advise you that it may be necessary for you to make a determination in regard to the imposition of the death penalty or some other penalty in this case. And remember, any penalty you consider should be done as if it's absolute and will be carried out in the case. So with that in mind, there was a question that said, do you support or oppose the death penalty on page 12? And you did have a good explanation above about that, but you didn't check either box. And did you pass over that intentionally because you didn't think either box applied?
Correct.
Okay. And I'll just read that your thoughts on that on page 12 was, quote, I do not have a strong opinion either to support or oppose the death penalty. And then some other commentary. If you would look at page 13, there were seven choices for you to choose from on what most accurately represents the way you feel about the death penalty. You selected D, which reads, I am generally opposed to the death penalty, but I believe I can put aside my feelings against the death penalty and impose it if it is called for by the facts, law, and instructions in this case. Is that still the way you feel about the death penalty today?
Yes.
All right. Would you be in favor of the death penalty in every case where a murder has been committed?
No.
Is there anything about your attitude or opinion on the death penalty that would impair your ability to serve as a juror in this case, follow the court's instructions? All right, that concludes the court's voir dire of this juror on that. Does the state have any voir dire?
No, I don't believe I have any questions on this.
Thank you, Mr. Pryor.
No questions for the defense. Thank you, ma'am.
All right, so juror 1736, I'll have you return to the jury room. Thank you for answering our questions, and we'll give you further instructions when we talk to the other jurors. Next up will be juror 1760. All right, thank you for returning for individual voir dire juror 1760. We do have some questions for you, and as we get started, I'll note in just observing, and since the other jurors aren't here, I wanted to ask how you're, just in general terms, how you're kind of feeling about all this today. It seemed like you were maybe somewhat stressed out about the situation this morning. Could you just tell me what your thoughts are at this point in terms of considering whether or not you could serve as a juror in the case?
I have panic attacks with public speaking, so that's kind of really why I'm super nervous today.
Would you like to address this outside of the public presence?
Oh, that's okay. I just wanted to say that.
Okay.
And I maybe felt like when I signed that sheet today, I mean, I have seen news on the whole story. Obviously, I have. I've watched a Dateline.
Okay. And we will talk to you about that and what you know. I just wanted to make sure you were doing okay to proceed with where we are right now. Okay. And that's fine. So there is some knowledge of the case this juror has. I'd like to have more dire in terms of potential bias or hardship with the state who's going to conduct the voir dire?
That would be me, Your Honor.
Go ahead, Ms. Beatty.
Good morning, ma'am. If you need to take a break at any time, just let me know and we can do that. So it does look like you had some media exposure in this case. And there's nothing wrong with that. We've all had media exposure to some degree, probably. So would you mind just kind of telling me what you do know about the case?
Well, that some people did.
Sure.
And they found the bodies in Mr. Daybell's backyard in Rector.
Now, did you happen to come across any other court hearings related to this case overall?
No.
Okay. Did you happen to watch any other witnesses testifying or anything of that nature in any other proceedings related to this case?
No.
Okay. Did you happen to watch any documentaries other than Dateline?
48 hours. It was 48 hours.
Okay. Have you formed an opinion about Mr. Daybell's guilt based on what you've seen in the news?
I have.
You have. What is that opinion?
Guilty.
Do you believe that you could set that aside and put it out of your mind while you're deliberating?
I want to think I can.
It would be tough?
Yes.
I really appreciate your honesty, ma'am. Thank you very much. Your Honor, I would move to excuse this juror for cause.
All right. Thank you very much for your responses and coming back today. You can return your questionnaire and the court will sustain the motion. Thank you. Next up will be juror 1779. All right, juror number 1779, thank you for returning for some more individual voir dire questioning. We do want to discuss with you any knowledge you have of this case where the other jurors are not present. Please provide specific facts to what you do know so we can determine whether or not there may be some bias or implied bias from that. And I'll let the state first inquire on the topic and then allow the defense voir dire on that issue as well. Who will be doing that?
I will, Your Honor.
Go ahead, Mr. Wood.
Thank you. Juror 1779, thanks for coming back with us. And just a reminder, there's no right or wrong answers. Just tell us how you see things. We appreciate that. It does look from your questionnaire like you have seen some media in regards to this case.
Yes.
It says, from what I understand, and you correct me if I'm wrong, please, that you've seen the local news.
Yep.
But you haven't researched the case yourself.
No.
Can you just, in a nutshell, kind of tell us what you do know about the case?
In general, I'm aware that there was murders and that there was deaths, I should say. I don't know anything from facts because I don't believe the media is stating facts. I believe the media is opinions. And so they're giving their opinions based on raw knowledge that they are given from rumors and conjecture that they come up with. I don't believe that any of it is fact.
Okay.
While I've seen the media up until probably 18 months ago, when kind of things went quiet, I have made no opinions whatsoever on the case, either way.
Okay. And you agree with us that this defendant has an absolute right
absolutely
to be considered innocent until proven otherwise, correct?
Absolutely.
And do you have any concern that any of the headlines that you have seen, or I'm sorry, the media you have seen would shape your opinion in this case?
No.
And you can commit to putting everything out of your mind that you may have heard and rendering an impartial verdict in this case based solely on the evidence in this courtroom.
As I said, I've not seen any facts.
Okay. There's one other thing I want to talk to you about briefly. It sounds like you don't have an opinion, but maybe your spouse does. Is that fair?
Basically, that is fair.
Questionnaire.
That is fair.
And if chosen as a juror, are you aware that you won't be able to talk to your spouse at all about what's happening?
Sorry.
We have the question.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Are you aware that if you're chosen as a juror, you won't be able to talk to your spouse or anybody else about what's going on in the courtroom?
Yes. Yes. Already started.
Okay. So you've already cut that communication down.
Yes.
Is that going to be a problem for your spouse?
No.
Okay, so she's aware that she can't talk to you about this case.
Yes.
I'm just one other question. Do you have any concerns that if you reach a verdict different than your wife's opinion, that will cause any problems?
Yeah.
I don't have any other questions, Your Honor.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Pryor.
I've got so many areas I could go into about the interrelationship between a husband and a wife. And you know what I mean? You folks have been married a long time.
Long time, 22 years.
Hey, congratulations. That's impressive in this age. You've been married longer than a lot of these younger folks in this room have been around. I am always concerned, and it doesn't mean anything. It's just a concern that I want to bring up. I'm always concerned when someone says, I'm not going to talk to my partner or significant other about something that's involved in their life, something that's important. Would you share with me that this is an important task that you might be assigned?
Yes, it absolutely is.
And I'm only hesitating a bit here. And I'm only hesitating because I'm the length that you two have been together. At a certain point in your life, you get to the point where a couple literally become one. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, and I believe that.
Yeah, my wonderful mother and my father, who's no longer here, were married well over 50 years before my father's passing. And it was almost like talking to one person at the end, because they've come so close and they developed such a strong relationship. And the reason I'm bringing this up is that's what's causing me pause here.
Yeah.
And could you recognize that could potentially be a problem?
I recognize that the perception is there. The difference is we both have different upbringings.
Okay.
And in 40, I have to correct myself, 43 years of marriage, I know her, and I know her really well, and I know her biases versus mine.
Okay.
And so they differ. So while we raise our children the same, we are one in general principles, we do have our own individual opinions and our own individual insights and backgrounds. You know, I live in the business world, and the business world is far different than being in the home. I'm not saying it's worse or better, I'm just saying it's different. And so you learn business politics, you learn what you're doing. In my case, I'm representing county and the people, not necessarily myself.
Okay.
That makes sense to you? I see it as a civic duty and the opinion to keeping my own personal biases to myself, and they don't persuade my decisions.
Okay. And just one clarification, when you say the county that you represent, who are you referring to?
Well, I'm sitting in a jury impaneled on a jury, and okay. The jury happens to be a county, but we're representing another county. You guys are from different counties, but the laws are still there. The rules are still there, and so I'm being representative of that, and I take my civic duties seriously.
Okay, and I share the same county, by the way, as you. That's a different topic, but you know what, Judge? I think that his explanation is I really appreciate it. I really do. I think I'm going to pass at this point, Judge. Thank you.
All right. Juror number 1779, there's another area we'll discuss, and that is relating to your attitudes regarding the death penalty. When you completed your questionnaire last week, you were provided questions about that and answered those. Do you recall answering those questions?
Yes.
As you sit here today, do you believe those answers still accurately represent the way you feel about it?
Yeah, I believe so. I haven't changed my opinion. Maybe I misread something, but no, as far as I...
And to be clear, I'm not trying to set you up for something wrong. I'm just saying...
I understand that.
You've now thought about it. And importantly, when you fill out the questionnaire, it's more of a hypothetical type question, perhaps. In this case, though, and at this time, I am advising you that it may be necessary for you to actually make a determination in regard to the imposition of the death penalty or some other penalty in this case. So when you consider any penalty, consider it as if it should, you need to consider that as if it is absolute and will be carried out in the case. So with that in mind, you indicated in your questionnaire that you support the death penalty when you have this option of support or oppose. Is that correct?
Yeah, I support that we as a people have decided that that's a penalty that may be applied, and I support that decision. And I'm willing to support that as one of the options.
Okay. You selected a choice describing what most accurately represents the way you feel that says, I generally favor the death penalty, but I would base a decision to impose it on the facts, law, and instructions in the case. Is that still the way you feel as you sit here today?
Yeah, there isn't really a neutral. So what I would say is that, yes, I support it and I fully support it because that's a decision that's been made based on law and what we have in the laws of the state. And I'm going to support that and make decisions accordingly, assuming the instructions are clear and that I know we as a jury can make that as fact.
Okay. Let me ask you this then. Are you in favor of the death penalty in every case where a murder has been committed?
No, I don't. I qualify it because I don't know what the law is. I qualify it where it's applicable to law, yes. I don't know that it's applicable in all cases. So I don't know that because I'm not a lawyer and I don't know what the rules are. I'm hoping you'll tell me.
I'll do my best.
Thank you.
Going back to your answer then, you said you would follow the instructions in the case relating to the death penalty, and that's correct?
Yes.
All right. Finally then, is there anything you think about your views on the death penalty that would prevent or substantially impair your ability to serve as a juror in this case?
No.
All right. The court's concluded with its 4-hour questioning on the topic. Does the state have any questions?
No.
Any questions from the defense?
I've brought this up, sir, a couple of other times with a couple other prospective jurors. And do you have your questionnaire with you?
Do.
If I could ask you to turn to page 13 of your questionnaire. Okay. And you marked item number C, is that correct?
Yes.
And then underneath that is an item number D. And the difference is one says oppose, one says in favor. Do you recognize that?
Correct.
And I think when you talked about neutral, you said that you felt that, and I've asked other jurors this, that if there was a box between C and D that said neutral, and I'm just going to apply the facts and make a fair determination, would that be where you fit?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay, Judge, I have nothing else. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
All right, thank you for coming back. We'll talk to you again after we finish talking to the other jurors and give you further instructions. Next up will be juror number 8-4. All right, thank you, juror number 8-4, for returning for individual voir dire at this time. Counsel, I didn't see any indication that we needed to do more voir dire concerning bias or hardship. Does the state have any questions on that?
We do not, Your Honor. No questions, Your Honor. Thank you.
Okay. So juror number 8-4, then, there's one other area we'll discuss with you on that. Relates to this part of your questionnaire and your attitudes regarding the death penalty. So when you were here last week, you filled that questionnaire out and went through that section. Do you recall that?
Yes.
Have your attitudes regarding the death penalty changed since you filled out the questionnaire?
No.
Okay. In your questionnaire, you said that you opposed the death penalty when you had the choice of support or oppose. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right, I do want to advise you that in this case, it may be necessary for you to make a determination in regard to the imposition of the death penalty or some other penalty. And remember, any penalty you consider should be done as if it is absolute and will be carried out in the case. In the questionnaire where you had choices about what would most accurately describe the way you feel about the death penalty, you selected an option that reads, I am generally opposed to the death penalty, but I believe I can put aside my feelings against the death penalty. and impose it if it is called for by the facts, law, and instructions in the case. Does that still accurately represent how you feel about the death penalty?
It does.
All right. Would you be in favor of the death penalty in every case where a murder has been committed?
Respectfully, I'm not a judge, and so I don't know what the difference between a case that warrants the death penalty is and a case that doesn't warrant the death penalty is.
Okay, and you did indicate that you are generally opposed, but you would follow instructions that the court provided, even if you felt opposed to it, and still be able to follow those instructions. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And that would include considering imposing the death penalty if that's what the law instructed.
Correct.
Okay. Is there anything about your views on the death penalty you think that could prevent or substantially impair your ability to serve as a juror in this case where that may be considered?
No.
All right, that concludes the court's voir dire questioning of juror number 84. Does the state have any questions?
Your Honor, we do not.
No questions, Judge. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, juror 84. We'll have you return to the jury room and we'll talk to our next juror. That will be juror 126. Does the state intend to have any voir dire in terms of bias or hardship for this juror?
No, thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Pryor, do you know if you'll have any on that?
Judge, there may be some inquiry that may require those hearings.
All right. All right. Thank you for returning, juror number 126. We have some additional questions for you. I inquired on the state if there was any bias or hardship for Dyer. They indicated there was not. Mr. Pryor, you indicated you may want to take up some topic within the questionnaire outside of the public view. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
May I have just a quick sidebar with counsel? All right, thank you, counsel. The court in a sidebar has discussed with attorneys some topics that we are going to be dealing with on the remaining jurors in this group that are going to be private matters, so we are going to take those up on the record. However, we're going to close the public proceeding for that in order to discuss a few different topics that can't be discussed in public. So at this time, juror number 229, right?
126.
I'm sorry, 126. We will have you just remain there seated for a moment, and I'm going to have the public cease from the courtroom and cease the broadcast at this time, still remaining on the record for the questioning of this juror.
Folks, as you walk in, we did have the property on the private hearing. So just take a peek and make sure your property is in this hallway. So we had to scoop up some property on the patterns. Double check if the stuff is solved.
Folks, you know, new trial, so you know, we were kind of starting from ground zero.
All right, please.
Thank you. Please be seated. All right, ladies and gentlemen of this jury panel that are remaining, if you would do us a favor again and please hold up your red cards so we can confirm who is here. All right, thank you. And we are back on the record on CR 2221-1623, continuing the jury voir dire process. With these remaining jurors, I'm going to ask the state now, does the state pass this small group for cause?
Yes, Your Honor, thank you.
Does the defense pass this small group for cause?
Yes, Your Honor, thank you.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, you have been passed for cause. We'll continue to question additional small groups if necessary until we reach enough jurors to have the attorneys exercise their peremptory challenges. You'll be instructed to contact the jury commissioner, Randy Rutland, in order to receive further instructions regarding when you're going to be required to return. I will announce at this point to counsel and the jurors that is likely to be Monday morning. We will get a specific time and confirmation. So as you're looking at planning to come back, I'm fairly confident that's when you'll be returning to the court along with other jurors for peremptory challenges. Between now and then, please do not do anything to investigate the case, follow the case, or discuss the case amongst yourselves or with anyone else. We've done a lot of work to get jurors that we believe are impartial and unbiased without case knowledge. If this is in the news and you see it in passing, please try to avoid that. Don't talk about the facts of it with anyone, or of course, do any research. We'll have you sign an affirmation when you return, confirming that you have followed that important instruction. And you are, however, of course, allowed to discuss when you may be serving and your commitment in order to make arrangements with your personal schedules. So at this time, then, that will conclude the voir dire for this group of jurors. Does the state have anything further before they're released?
No, Your Honor. Thank you.
From the defense?
No, Your Honor. Thank you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, please rise for this jury panel.
All right, ladies, you folks come back with questions.
Thank you. Please be seated. May I have a sidebar with counsel, please?
Mr. Court, now back in session.
Thank you. Please be seated. All right, counsel, we're back on the record now. We have secured enough jurors for the exercise of peremptory challenges. We will plan on that occurring Monday morning. The court went through a rough outline of scheduling moving forward, but we will reconvene at, unless otherwise noted, at 10 o'clock on Monday for the peremptory challenges. And if the parties have any other court business or matters to take up before 10 o'clock, we can do that Monday as well. For today, then, I believe that concludes the court's businesses on the case. Is there anything further from the state that we would wish to put on the record for this afternoon?
Not from the state, Your Honor. Thank you.
Nothing further, Judge. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, counsel. We'll be in recess until Monday.
There's more to come in the trial of Chad Daybell. Press subscribe so you don't miss any of our continuing coverage right here from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.